Our reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 16, from verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
We've seen it, we've heard it, we've experienced it, and we've shared in it tonight. Three simple things about this gospel joy: a seed, a sigh, and a song. The seed of lives that could have been devastated, lost and forgotten, like many thousands of other children's lives across Africa and Asia and the United Kingdom and Europe. Cries that had gone unheard. But it's not how a life begins that determines it. It's what God does with that life. And at the end of the reading that Lily's brought you, you hear this simple declaration: you have led me in paths of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there is pleasure forevermore. Not just one cry or two cries or three cries, but thousands of children's cries rise from the seed of gospel that is planted in Wututu. The cry of a child discovered, the cry of a child rescued, the cry of a child when it cries out in hope and is found by someone who will love it, rooted by gospel. Boys and girls transformed by gospel joy. Many years later, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Rome, wanted to give them a benediction. So he said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God hears the cry of every child. He hears the cry of every abandoned boy or girl, every forsaken woman or man. He hears the cry of your heart when you say, "I don't know what to do. I don't know who to turn to. I've come to the end of myself. I don't know what my life will hold." But that cry is transformed by another child's cry. 2,000 years ago in the dirt in Bethlehem, there was a cry of a boy born to a woman, a young girl whose life and ministry and service of God transformed everything. Jesus' cry in a cave in Bethlehem was a cry of defiant hope. It was a light that shattered the darkness. It was hope that shattered despair. Hope had come. Joy had come. At the announcement of his birth, the angels declared, "We bring you glad tidings of great joy, for today has been born to you in the city of David a Savior, and you will find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes." Swaddling clothes that in that small town of Bethlehem were used to wrap lambs when they were born, so that they would be perfect for the sacrifice in the temple. But this time, these swaddling clothes weren't wrapped around a lamb. They were wrapped around a baby. And he lived and he moved and he walked And he went to those that were forgotten, and he found those that were excluded, and he welcomed those that no one else would talk to. He spent time with those that others would turn their backs on, because the God that I serve is a God who knows how to discover those that are lost, those that are broken, those that are rejected by religious systems and structures. Just as God, through Watoto, found the children that you've seen on this stage tonight, God is able to find all who cry out to him. And then that boy became a man. And that man lived amongst his people. And he continued to go to those that were excluded and forgotten and lost. He knelt with a woman in the dirt in John chapter 4 who had been rejected. He spoke to those that others would not speak to. He had dinner with lepers and sinners, people of the land. He spent his life looking for those that others did not want, until he was rejected and one further cry was issued from him on a cross around 33 years after he was born. My God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out. But those weren't his last words. He also cried on the cross as he was murdered for us. Forgive them, they do not know what they do. And the last cry, into your hands, I commend my spirit. What has the cry of a baby and the cry of a cross got to do with joy? They are connected. This life was lived for you. This cross was carried for you. This pain was born for you. This shame was swallowed up for you. This anxiety and fear that swamps our nation can be swallowed by the power of the cross. And there will be another cry. Maybe in 20 years, maybe in 50 years, maybe in 100 years, I don't know. But the Word of God tells me that there will be a final cry. A call and cry of God when the clouds burst, when the trumpet is sounded, and when the one who ascended, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns. And he tells me, the Word of God tells me, that when he returns, those who love him will be caught up together with him in the air, and so we will be forever with him. But that is not the last cry of the Bible. The last mention of a cry in Scripture is right at the end of the story. In Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, John, the writer of that amazing revelation, describes what he sees. And he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth descending." And then listen to what he says as he describes everything being made new. Darkness being swallowed up by light. Despair being swallowed up by hope. He says, and there was no more crying. Can you imagine a world where there are no abandoned children? Can you imagine a society where children live to ripe old age, where people fulfill their potential? That is the promise of God when the advancement of his kingdom reaches its pinnacle. And tonight here in this church in London, we celebrate gospel joy. Because the children that you have heard and the songs that you have heard were not birthed in easy lives. They weren't shaped by easy circumstances. They were formed and shaped by grace and mercy and hope and faith in the darkest and deepest and most difficult days of a human soul. Because gospel joy is not Cheshire grin smiling. Gospel joy is not everything going well. Gospel joy is not the absence of pain or suffering or struggle. Gospel joy is the good news that God is for you and not against you. That he has made a way for you and for me to walk in freedom and life and hope. And no matter what our circumstances, that joy will be unbreakable. That joy is indestructible. So yes, we sigh. We sigh now because we look at a world that is broken. We sigh because we hear stories that wrench our hearts open. We sigh because we are angry at the way the world is. We are angry at how things happen. We are angry at the injustice and the unfairness. We want the world to be a better place. But that sigh placed within our hearts is a sigh given to us by the one who made us. It is a yearning for joy. It is a yearning for something better, and only Christ can satisfy it. But he can satisfy it. And he takes our brokenness, he takes our shame, he takes our pain, he takes our fears and transforms them into a song. Is there anything sadder than reading the words about the people of Israel after they had been sent in exile to Babylon? Some of the strangest and saddest words you will read in the biblical narrative. It was not penned, by the way, by Boney M. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, and there we wept as we remembered Zion. Then there's a line just a few moments later. Gets me right in the gut every time I read it. There we hung our lyres or our harps upon the trees. Imagine a life that has lost the ability to sing. Imagine a world where music is rejected because of sadness and shame and despair. And then, friends, listen again to the children singing. Listen to a song rising in their spirits that nothing can break. Listen to a melody of grace and hope that echoes not just from children, but with gramophones and megaphones of mercy, echoes around the world, because God is still changing lives. So what is your cry? What are you facing? Across London, since Pentecost, the 24th of May, we as a church family have been running a campaign to see 1,000 men and women born again by the end of August. Today is day 50. It is called 1,000 Souls in 100 Days. And as of this evening, we have 568 people who have made first-time decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ in this city. Who will be number 569? Maybe you've come because you enjoy music, but may you go with a melody in your heart. Maybe you have come, what a wonderful thing, and I managed to catch it. Maybe you have come looking for hope. May you leave knowing that hope was looking for you first. Maybe you have come carrying despair and loss and sadness. Maybe your heart is broken like mine and like my wife's because her father died on Monday. But we are here because gospel joy is not determined by circumstances. It is determined by the Savior that is for you and not against you. And he offers his hand of hope to you tonight. Will you take it? Will you accept his offer of grace, of mercy, and of love? I hope so.